one of my favorite things is dumb crook news, whether it's reading it, Reader's Digest will have it. There's several of the reality TV channels that will reenact dumb crook news. It's you hear it. It's around us all the time. And one of my favorite stories, favorite ones I've heard lately, was of a fellow who went in to rob a convenience store. And he pulled, as I understand it, he pulled two guns on the clerk and robbed him. And after he got his money, the clerk had told him how much he admired, how much he liked his guns, and how he really liked the robber's guns. And he offered to give him $400 to buy the guns from him. And so the robber thought about it a minute and said, okay, that's a deal. And so he handed him over $400, took the robber's guns. And some of you are sitting there like, where's this going? Maybe you shouldn't be robbing stuff either. And he took the guy's guns from him, turned them around, and held him till the police got there. I enjoy those kinds of stories. I love to hear, when the crooks end up, it falls back on them in some way or another. I remember one I wasn't actually involved in, but walked in when I worked for Marita, walked in a convenience store, and it was obvious what was going on. They had been robbed, and the robber had came in and laid down a $20 bill and asked the cashier for change. And when she opened the door, he reached across and grabbed all the money out of the register and ran out the door. He'd left his $20, and when they counted the drawer, he'd got $18, so he went $2 in the hole that day. Those are the kind of stories I enjoy, when I hear about, I guess you don't have to be too smart, to be a crook. On the television, on the movies, they always make them out to be so smart. They've got all this, all these things figured out and all these high-tech gadgets. But, when you rob a convenience store and you run off and you've got those shoes that light up as you run and the police, you don't have to be too smart. Or you steal a bunch of snack goods and you eat them on your way home and they follow your trash all the way to your house. And there was one in China Grove who ran out, and as he ran out, he dropped his driver's license, and police were sitting in his driveway waiting on him when he got home. And so, you don't have to be real smart typically to be a crook, to be a thief. It may help, but you don't have to be. Unfortunately, the enemy that I want to talk to you, the thief I want to talk to you about this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is, y'all ignore me on what time it is, okay? I've got 40 some years now of saying this morning, and so it's kind of hard to say this afternoon. It's not quite that dumb. In fact, he is highly intelligent. I really just kind of want to focus on one piece of Scripture, really one part of a verse of Scripture. In John chapter 10, it's an interesting kind of story. If you read it, Jesus is talking a lot about sheep and shepherds. That's the majority of the story in this chapter is sheep and shepherds. Sheep and shepherds. Shepherds and sheep is what he's talking about. But in the midst the talking about sheep and shepherds, he says, but by the way, you need to know that not only are there sheep and I am the shepherd, but you need to know that there is also a thief. There is also an enemy who is attacking the sheep, who is out to get the sheep. And in verse 10, he describes that thief, and he talks about him off and on at other places. But he says in this passage, he really says one word that kind of stuck in my mind over the last week or so, and just kind of kept rolling this thought around of exactly what Jesus is talking about when he talks to us about this thief. And he says that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And the word that really stuck into my mind as I thought about this passage was very simply the word steal. As I thought about that, that idea of a thief, of someone stealing. It's very unsettling. Most of us, if you were to ask somebody, most people, what are some of the things you don't like? A thief would be at the very top of the list. And And over the years, and as I worked at the bakery, we would have warehouses broke into, but typically they did more damage than they actually stole anything. There wasn't any money left there or anything. We've had a few guys robbed, that kind of thing. But probably one of the things that that has struck me, and and I still remember very clearly, was being up at Wallace's house one afternoon, and Kim come driving up from down at her mama's house, and pulled up and said that that Junior and Betty's house had been broke into again. I don't know. I think it's happened several times. I don't know if Wallace remembers which one I'm talking about. But I remember going with Wallace. We went down there, met the police down there, and when we got down there, somebody had went into their garage and kicked or whatever, rammed their way through the door and went through and just kind of ramshackled the house. And it wasn't my house, but I remember just a creepy feeling, thinking that somebody that didn't belong here had been in Junior and Betty's house and been through it. Some of you may have had that happen to you. And in fact, when Betty got there, that was one of the things she said. I don't remember hearing her comment on any of the stuff that was missing, but it upset her that someone had been through her house. We just don't like thieves. They just, it's not just, it's not so much what they steal, but that they steal. It doesn't matter if it's a number two pencil. It's just that idea of someone stealing something that isn't theirs. And so, as I looked at this and I thought about this and I thought about this thief that Christ is talking about, I think most of you realize that he's talking about Satan when he says, calls him a thief. It's amazing to me, we live in a world that has quite a few places where you can go, and if you choose, you can worship Satan. I'm always dumbfounded by that. I got to be honest with you. I wonder about a lot of the worship and religions that's out there, but those that worship Satan, they just kind of right over my head. I don't get it. What it is about that would cause people to do that. And so as we look at this and think about this thief this morning, really, really simple, as I motored this through my head, as I thought about this, as I prayed about this, and just kind of, I don't know if you ever had this happen to you. Maybe you didn't have to preach, but you just get a verse or something kind of stuck in your head, and you just kind of roll it around and toss it around. It's kind of like I heard E.V. Hill one time call one of his sermons. He said, this is a diamond sermon. And he said, you take the passage of Scripture and you hold it up to the light and you just keep turning it, and every time you turn it, you see a little something different. And as I thought about this idea of a thief and what he steals and his motive and his and the way he operates, it's really kind of been on my heart as I look around and I see him at work, and I see such a great example for us to hear and to understand and to think about Satan as a thief. I see people with shirts on that says the devil made me do it, and I look around and people have this mindset, this idea of Satan, some guy, red long johns with a pitchfork, and we've just got all kinds of ideas about Satan. Some of them right, some of them wrong, some of them very misguided. But I think one of the greatest words that we have that describes Satan for us, he's described as a liar, the father of lies. He's all kinds of ways we have Satan pictured to him. But I think the one that just kind of sticks in my craw the most is this idea of a thief. Of one who would steal. And so this morning, I just want to kind of take that and think that through a moment and talk about that for a second and remind you of several things about this enemy that the Bible calls a thief. And the first thing that I think is important for us to understand is the very design of the thief. I don't know. One day I'm going to do that when you're not expecting. I'm going to ask everybody just kind of either write down or draw for me your idea of what Satan looks like, of what the devil looks like. And I'm sure that would be an interesting group of drawings and descriptions. We have, again, that idea of, the red long johns. We've got, others who would have him as some hideous monster, just all kinds of images that that we associate with Satan. I would remind you that the Bible tells us about Satan and his creation and his origin as Lucifer as an angel. And so we sometimes forget that about Satan. And we see him as some kind of booger behind every bush, that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible describes Satan and says, talks about his beauty, talks about his wisdom, talks about this creature that was created by God. We spent a year or so ago, talking about Satan and talking about fallen angels on Wednesday night. But one of the things we have to understand about Satan is when it describes him as a thief. You know, most of us, when we think of thief, we go back into the Lone Ranger days. You know, when we think of thief, we think of, you know, the bad guy dressed in black with the scarf across his face, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we have this image of a thief as, he's, walking around. He looks like he's been drugged behind a pickup truck for a while. You know, we just got this horrible image of a thief. And we kind of think of Satan the same way. He's this monster with these huge claws. But I'm reminded of something that I heard someone say one time. Said if you know, I don't remember how this was. They were talking about people breaking into people's houses, and said that most of the house break-ins occur through the front door. You know, because if somebody rides by and sees somebody walking in and out your front door, they don't think anything about it. They don't give it a second thought. They don't consider anything about it. Now, if they see them climbing in and out the window, they may look at that and say, hey, something's a little bit unusual. I remember, years ago, when, Ron and I first moved, into the parsonage, I had a, truck backed up in the front yard at 3 o'clock in the morning, rolling stuff out my front door, into that truck, and watching policemen ride by. And I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, you'd think one of them would at least stop and go, hey, is that your stuff you rolling out? You know, can I see your driver's license? You know, I see you rolling stuff out of this house at 3 a.m. You know, are you supposed to be here? I want to remind you something about Satan. Satan is not, I'm not saying he is above being ugly, mean, and nasty. But one of the things I've noticed and I see about Satan is Satan comes across as pretty. Let me give you an example. Perfect example. And it came during the Super Bowl. Some of you have seen it. Some of you cry when you see it. Have you seen the little Clydesdale commercial where the little Clydesdale is born and the man raises the Clydesdale? And I can't tell you how many people I've heard, you know, eventually that Clydesdale grows up and pulls that wagon full of beer and all that stuff. And I can't tell you how many people I've heard talking about crying when they saw that commercial. You know, oh, it's just so beautiful that horse goes back to his master. You know, it's just so beautiful he still remembers him. Oh, isn't that sweet? You know, I keep waiting on one of them beer commercials showing some guy hovering over a commode throwing up his guts. Okay? That's been my experience. That's what I've seen over the years. Yeah, I keep waiting on seeing some drunk come home and his wife's rolling all, throwing all his stuff out in the yard telling him he's got to go. Because that's been my experience. Yeah, but Satan comes across as pretty. He comes across as you know, this is lovely. Think about the story back in the Garden of Eden. He sat there in the garden, and what did it say? He said he was sitting there, and he didn't say to Eve, just give it to God, he's no cow. He was smooth. You know, if he was a man on the street, he'd be a ladies' man. He was smooth. That was Bobby's word all the time. Smooth. Everything's smooth. That's the way Satan was. Satan would be smooth. You know, Satan tempts us with pretty. Satan tempts us with good. Satan tempts us with nice. Satan tempts us with beautiful. Satan doesn't tempt us with, oh, if you do this, you're going to lose your family. Satan doesn't tempt us, oh, if you do this, you're going to lose your job. Satan tempts us, oh, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, if you'll get ahead, you'll have more money, you'll be this, you'll be that. Satan tempts us. He tempts young people the very same way. Oh, you'll be popular if you'll just run with this crowd. You'll be in with the good crowds. You'll be in with the popular folks. if you'll just go out and you'll go to this party and you'll do this and you'll try this and you'll do, act like this. And that's the design of the thief. He doesn't come in. Somebody doesn't walk up to your door and try to just walk up and look at you and say, and typically and hit you in the head with a ball bat. They come to your door dressed like salesmen. You know, they come and try to deceive you and trick you and make everything sound so smooth. Well, Satan has that same design. He's very, so we have to be aware. What I really want to think about, this is where I really got hung up as I thought about that. I want to talk to you a little bit about that idea of who he is. That, you know, we sometimes think, oh, I can spot the devil at work. You know, oh, I can spot the devil. It just looks bad. It just doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right. Eve didn't find it to be that way. Eve found him to be a smooth-talking rascal, didn't she? You know, you look through the Word of God, you find over and over again, you think about your own life, you find out he's smooth. He knows how to weave and to get in close. Let's talk a bit. Here's what I really want to think about for a minute. What does he steal? What is his desire? And I'll be honest with you, I sit down and begin to just scribble about some of the things that I've witnessed, some of the things that I think the Word of God teaches, some of the things that have been personal experience. What is it that Satan wants to steal? Well, what are some of the things that he is his number one priority? You know, I look around and, you know, I'm sometimes amazed by what, you know, you hear people breaking in and stealing. I'm always, you know, what are you going to do with it when you get it? You know, I hear people breaking in weird businesses and stuff and stealing stuff. I think, what in the world are you going to do with that once you get it? So as I thought about, what is it that Satan wants to steal from you? What is it that Satan wants to steal from every? What is this thief after? You know, we're in a time where with the price of metal, that they're metal thieves and copper thieves, and they, you know, that's one of the big things to steal today is to steal metal and take it and recycle it. We had a year or so ago, maybe longer than that now, air conditioners cut off the back of the church, and you know, somebody hauled them off, and you know, I personally wanted to thank them and point them to a couple more old ones, but they didn't leave their business card, but we see a lot of people want to steal. What does Satan want to steal? I just want to, you know, just kind of add on my list a few things that I thought about that I think are the most important that you need to hear about. Here's number one. This is number one with a bullet. This is one number one thing that Satan wants to steal. And I don't care, you know, if I'm looking around and, you know, and it's teenager like Angel sitting up here, or it's, I'm not even going to say, whoever the oldest person here is, Archie, I'm not even going, I don't care where you are age-wise, you know, whether you're still in school, whether you got a job, whether you're retired, whether you're single, whether you're married, number one, by far, the number one thing Satan wants to steal from you is your purity. Your purity. That's it. He wants to steal that from you. Now, I realize you can take, and there are a lot of adjectives you can put in front of the word purity. You, in the culture we live in, and the society we're in with what goes on, I think obviously the number one thing that we see that is one of Satan's number one targets today, and it's not just young people. That is sexual purity. That is Satan's one of his number one things. All you have to do is turn on your television. All you've got to do is look around and you see it. I remember hearing a fellow preaching up at Fruitland one time in chapel, and he said, what we need in America is a revival, and not an ordinary revival. We need a revival at the sewing machine. Amen. Some of you act like you're scared to say it. Your kids won't beat you up, I promise you. We look around us, and one of the number one things Satan is attempting to steal is purity, beginning with sexual purity. And again, you know, we immediately say, oh, that's the teenagers. And, you know, I heard somebody this week, going on and on about teenage pregnancy and all this kind of stuff that's going on. You know, and yet that's bad. And listen, while I'm there, teenagers, just act like you got some smarts. That's all I know to tell you. Just act like you got some sense. Some of you, older folks about to get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you something that you need to know. Your youngins are smarter than you think they are. Okay? They know more than you think they do. Young people, listen to me. Keep your clothes on. I don't know any other simpler way to put it. If he or she is pushing you to take them off, get rid of him or get rid of her. You don't need them. You don't need to be around them. Dump them. Push them out of the car. I don't care. I'd rather come bail you out for pushing them out of the car than I would to be visiting you up at the maternity ward. Okay? I'm going to be as blunt to you as you need to hear it. It's just where we are in this world. You know, I heard James Merritt say this one time. He said, if your kids is under 10, they know more than you think they do. And if they're over 10, they know less than you think they do. You know, listen to me. Young people, you can't get it. You cannot. This wasn't a plan of this, but here we go. You can't get your virginity back. It's gone. It's gone. And, it goes both ways in our culture today. Young ladies, act like young ladies. I'm on a roll. If he don't open the door, don't get in the car. If he pulls up and blows the horn, make sure he's dropping off a pizza. Because he ain't picking nothing up. Okay? Some of you act like you're scared of these youngins. My youngins is sitting here. Yeah. Rod, if Caleb Barrett pulls up in your driveway and blows the horn, you have my permission to go out and punch him in the throat. Okay? He knows better. He better act better. Because I promise you, the first little boy that pulls up and blows his horn in my driveway when Malia gets about 40 and starts dating, that's what's going to happen to him. I'm just saying, as parents, as grandparents, the television and everybody else is telling our children, our grandchildren, our young people, how wonderful it is to be impure. You better step up and tell them how important it is to stay pure. Because Satan is trying to steal it. Satan is trying to rob it. That goes for adults as well. I don't care how old you are. The Bible says, and if you don't believe it, look her up. The Bible says that sex is between one man and one woman who are married. I looked it up before I got here. It's still there. I know some folks have tore out pages and erased and white liquid papered, but that page is still there. It still says that. Satan is doing everything he can to steal your purity. Not just sexually, but we're here at income tax time. You know, it's real easy to fudge a line here, fudge a line there. Listen, that's not pure. Bible says to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Thou shalt not steal. That's what it says. It's still there. Even in the modern translations, it's still there. Purity. Satan is doing everything he can to rob us of our purity. You know, I look around and, I pick on Caleb about it, but I'm about as bad. Caleb used to come home from school and you say, Caleb, what'd you have for lunch? Spaghetti? You know. I got some shirts I can only wear in the wintertime so I can wear a jacket over them because they got stains on them. You know, let me tell you something about purity. You may think, oh, I can clean it up, I can fix it. Maybe. But I tell you what, I tell you the there's two people that will always know. You and God. You may hide it from mama, you may hide it from daddy, you may hide it from brother, sister, husband, wife, but every time you look in the mirror for the rest of your life, you'll know. You may get forgiveness. I'm not saying you can't. But this whole, forgiving and forgetting are two different things. You may forget it one day. But there may be a whole lot of other things you forget as well. That'll be about the only way. He wants to steal our purity. Not only does he want to steal purity, the other thing that goes right along, he wants to steal our standards. You know, we live in a world today where our standards have been changed. You know, I look around me and I see people doing stuff in public. I see people get on television and do things that once upon a time they wouldn't have done in the secrecy of their house. And it hadn't been that long ago. You know, but we live in a modern, enlightened world. If this is enlightened, I say turn down the lights. You know, listen, Satan wants to steal not only our purity, but the only way he can steal our purity is to steal our standards. You know, you look around and, you know, we look around and we accept so many things, even in the church today. You know, we accept so much. We say, oh, it's times have changed. Listen, I'm all for changing times. There are some things about changing times I like. I like air conditioning. I like running water. I like indoor plumbing. You know, there's some things about that have changed that I truly enjoy. You know, that I like. I like my television. You know, I like, heating. You know, I like all those things. I'm tickled some of y'all had to walk to the creek and draw your water. But I'm thrilled to absolute death that I don't. You know, I'm tickled you had a wood stove. I'm thrilled to death I got a heat pump. You know, sometimes when the power bill comes, I'm not. But listen, you know, there are a lot of things about today's time that, you know, are great and wonderful. But this thing of saying, oh, we've outgrown the Word of God. We've moved past those standards. We've moved, you know, well, that's what they believed in the old days. I want to tell you something. We'd be a whole lot better off in America if the devil hadn't stolen our standards. We'd have some people today who wouldn't be in office if we still had standards. Because we wouldn't vote our billfold, we'd vote our conscience, we'd vote our convictions. I'm not calling any names, you figure it out. We've got some things that wouldn't be going on in this country if we still had biblical standards. But you know what's happened? It's not that the White House or the county courthouse or anybody else has got rid of it. It's that the standards started dropping in the Church of Jesus Christ in what we started accepting and allowing. He wants to steal our purity, our standards. Ultimately, he wants to steal our strength. Yeah, and that's what happens when our purity and our standards go away. We just kind of get to the point, and you see this and you hear this. I do anyway. I hear this all the time. I hear people saying, oh, why bother? Why go on? Why even try? You know, you ever heard that? You ever said that? Where'd that strength go? Where'd that desire? Where'd that motivation to serve go? The thief got it. The thief got it. He stole our standards. He stole our purity. And ultimately, what he's done is he stole our blessings from living a holy life. That's what he's done. That's what he's stolen. You know, the ultimate, you know, he started out with purity, but his ultimate goal was by stealing those things, he has come between us and our God. One of the verses, and I know you've heard me quote this one over and over and over, but you know, it's like they ask, you know, Wesley when he was preaching on John 3:16 every night, when you're going to change? He said, when you get this one right. The Bible says very clearly in Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. We have allowed our standards, we have allowed our purity to be corrupted to the point where we don't enjoy our relationship with our Father anymore. Not like we should or could. It's as simple as, you know, as thinking back to childhood or thinking back to parenthood. You know, you think about, you know, you were out and you were doing something you shouldn't do. You were out, involved in something you shouldn't be. And all of a sudden, mama or daddy stepped out on the back porch and hollered for you to come home. Like a knife through the gut, wasn't it? You know, you knew you were had. You know, you knew, you know, that you walk in and you know, you could see by the look on their face. You walk in the house and say, I really don't think they were all that smart. I just think we weren't too bright. I don't think it was the look on their face that gave us away. It was the look on our face that gave us away. Because we walked in the door looking guilty. Yeah. And all they had to say is, what you been up to? We melted. You know, is, you know, nothing. You know, I guarantee you, when I said nothing, I've been preaching for over 20 years. I don't think my mom has ever amened anything I've said till just then. Nothing. Nothing always meant something, didn't it, Pansy? Guarantee it. Them girls said they hadn't been up to nothing. You better check, hadn't you? Yeah. Guarantee it, June. Your boy's that way? Yeah. When they said nothing, that meant something, didn't it? Yeah. Guarantee it. Yeah. You just, you know, there were times in life when it was great to see your mom and your daddy because you knew you was innocent for a change. There were times when you dreaded seeing them coming. Yeah. That report card day always stunk. That was a bad one. You know, those days. You know, why? Because you knew in a roundabout way, in a world, your purity, your standards had been dropped. And you couldn't enjoy being in the presence of your parents. You know, there just wasn't anything, nothing much more miserable than knowing that Mama knows. And waiting for the hammer to drop. Nothing any worse than just wait till I get you home. Thankfully, my mama was bad to forget. She kind of just wait till I get you home. God, that was the worst car ride on the face of the earth, wasn't it? Because here's what I discovered. Here's a whole lot of you just go and get in trouble right there and get whatever's coming to you. Because if you give them that car ride home, they get creative. You know, and, you know, they get to thinking up new and inventive ways to make your life miserable. You know, just go ahead and let's have it now. Well, that's exactly what Satan has done to us. Satan has robbed us not. He doesn't have the ability to rob you of your salvation. But he has the ability to coerce us into losing the joy of our salvation. That's what the Bible calls it. The joy of our salvation. You know, one of the reasons I believe that prayer is so underused, so unpracticed, whatever the right word would be, in the church today, is because we know that if we talk to Him long, He's going to say, oh, by the way, I saw what you did. I know where you've been. Been wanting to talk to you about so and so. You know the reason I believe the Word of God goes so unread in the church today is because we know if we read it long enough, somewhere we're going, you know, it's fun to read the Bible when the verses I'm reading apply to Archie. Yeah. I just go through my Bible making all kinds of marks. Archie. Yeah. Sending text messages, emails. Archie, you need to read this one. You need to read that one. You need to read this one. Oh, there's one for Kevin. There's one for CD. You know, just get down there. Oh, that's, you know. Boy, when you get down there and you hit one, ooh, I didn't know that one was there. That one's for me. They're not as pleasant. I think one of the reasons the Bible goes unread is because we know if we read it long enough, we're going to come across something that old sword's going to come out and just right down to the bone. As Tommy calls it, peeling the onion. Yeah. It's fun when it's somebody else's onion that's getting peeled. Yeah. It's, you know, it's good. But all of a sudden when it's your onion, unless you act like you had your onion peeled before, you didn't. Yeah, there you go. Melissa jumped when I said that. You know, listen, it's, you know, I think that's part of the reason of prayer. I think that's part of the reason a lot of Christians stay out of church. It's because you know if you sit there long enough, sooner or later the preacher's going to quit preaching and go to Madeline and get up in your business. Because Satan, the thief, wants to destroy, wants to steal our blessing. What do you do about a thief? Three things. I don't even know that this. It's funny how this sermon come together. I heard three things that somebody was talking about that had nothing to do with this that hit me and said, you know, that's exactly what you need to do about the devil. You need to prepare. Prepare. How do you prepare? Well, as painful as it is, you prepare
by the things we avoid. Prayer, church, reading the Bible. So we find those things in our life. You know, it's kind of like, I've done this before. I've heard of people doing this. You have the police department come out and, you know, walk through the church, or the fire department comes out and they say, right here's, you know, your where you've got a weakness. You know, Archie does that all the time for fire. Go out and prepare. Say, listen, you can't do this. You ought not do that. This is dangerous. You know, those kind of things. And the police department will come out, look at your house and say, right here, this big bush in front of this window, somebody could break in your house. You got to prepare. You know, and those are the very things we avoid. The very things that protect us from the thief are the very things we avoid. And that's talking to God. Reading His Word. Worship. The very things that strengthen us and prepare us. That allow us to protect ourselves. Listen, here's something we need to understand, that we need to be reminded about a thief. Never, ever let your guard down. Never let your guard down. I'll remind you that our first story, our first case of meeting this thief was where? In the garden. Tell me something what you know about the Garden of Eden. Beautiful. Perfect. What else you know about the Garden of Eden? God walked with them. That's a good one. A beautiful, perfect place where God walked with His people. What happened in that garden? In that beautiful, perfect place where God walked with His people. What happened? The thief comes sneaking in the back door. Never, ever, ever let your guard down. I was on the young people a minute ago. I hear older folks sometimes talking about how they've grown in the Lord and how over the years, you know, they've got so close to the Lord. I want to tell you something. If you live to be 483, you will never ever get so close to the Lord that Satan will go, no use in messing with them. You know, matter of fact, here's my observation. The closer you get to God, the more it aggravates the thief. And the more he comes after you. That's why you never hear anybody breaking in an outhouse. You have to think that one through. Put that on the list back there. My kids keep a list of my stupid sayings. They break in the bank, not the outhouse. You're not living close to God. You're wondering. You've already lost all your purity and standards. Satan doesn't need to steal anything from you. He's got you. Some of you this morning could stand up and testify, confess, whatever, acknowledge, agree that when you've really set in your heart and mind, say, you know what? I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to get closer to God than I've ever been. Satan goes, I bet you are. Yeah. Not if I can help it. Never let your guard down. Never. Young people, never let your guard down. I don't care how cute she is, how often he goes to church. Never let your guard down. I don't care how godly you think your boss is at work. Never let your guard down. I don't care. I work with all Christians. Wonderful. Watch them like a hawk. I got to be honest with you. I'd just about as soon be around a bunch of heathens because I know what they are. Some of y'all looking at me like, I'm just telling you the truth. Christians will get you in trouble. Got to watch them because they walk around thinking they all high and mighty and self-righteous and forgiven, and they'll just drag you right off the cliff with them. You know Christians get in trouble, right? Y'all quit looking at me like that. You know Christians get in trouble. Christians do things they shouldn't, say things they shouldn't, go places they shouldn't. Watch them. Because here's what happens to us. We get around, they're good Christian people. They wouldn't do anything like that. you know, you're around a bunch of heathens. You know, I got to watch out for this crowd. You know, you hang around with Archie, you say, I got to watch every moment. You know, you got to be careful. You know, listen, never let your guard down. Satan, what does the Bible say about this thief? It says he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? The third thing that I believe we can prevail. Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says to tell Satan to get behind me. I don't have to be his victim. I don't have to let him steal my joy. I don't have to let him steal my happiness, my blessings. I don't have to let him steal my purity, my standards. I don't have to let him steal my family. I go on and on about the things he's wanting to steal. He's wanting to steal your sanity. He's wanting to steal your family. He's wanting to steal your life. You look at the rest of that verse, it says what? He doesn't just want to steal it. He wants to destroy it and kill it. Somewhere along the way, we have bought into this mindset, again, of Satan as some little, you know, something we don't have to worry about. Listen, I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, if you're talking about my stuff, and you're talking about stealing it, killing it, and destroying it, that's not good. Jimmy, can I borrow your car? I want to steal it, kill it, and destroy it. No. Yeah. Can I borrow your cell phone? I want to steal it, kill it, and destroy it. No. Think about it. That's what he says in that verse. That a thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You understand he's talking about your family? Your life? Your children? Everything that God wants you to have that is good, Satan wants to steal it, kill it, and destroy it. And I think it's interesting that Jesus doesn't just say he wants to steal it. Because, you know, if somebody breaks in your house and steals something, there's the remote chance that the police, they may find it and you may get it back. Satan doesn't just want to steal it. He's not stealing it because he wants it. He's not stealing it because he needs it. He's not stealing it because he's hungry. He's stealing it so that when he gets it, he can kill it and destroy it. Folks, it's time we understand the seriousness of what Satan's about. Satan's not just wanting to mess up your life. Satan's not just wanting to ruin your life. Satan doesn't just want to cause you some hard times. Satan wants to steal it, kill it, and destroy it. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Some of you are sitting here today and you need to come and you need to kneel at this altar. You see very clearly that the thief is trying to steal your family. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your happiness. Some of you young people, you know what's going on in your life, and you know that Satan's at work trying to steal your purity, trying to steal your standards. You need to come this morning and kneel and say, Lord, help me to prepare, to protect, and prevail. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. He's trying to steal your very eternity. He's trying to steal your destiny. He's trying to steal your soul. To kill it and destroy it. Because the Bible says that without Jesus Christ, you are dead. You will be cast into a lake of fire for eternity. Steal, kill, and destroy. That is His game. That's all He's about. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You need to come. Christians, you need to come. Maybe there's somebody in your family. Maybe it's your children, your grandchildren. You want to come and kneel and you want to lift them up in prayer and Lord, place a hedge around them. Lord, I see Satan at work in their life. I see Satan trying to destroy them. I see Satan trying to steal their future. I see Satan still trying to steal their happiness, their joy. Maybe it's your grandchildren, whoever, somebody that you work with, but you see Satan at work. You want to come and pray for wisdom and guidance. Maybe it's you. You sent Satan at work trying to destroy you. You need to come.